Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
But it is perhaps the end of the beginning.
It is perhaps the end of the beginning. And that's what this week's show is all about. You've got Doc Holliday here. You're listening to Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. We're glad to have you. We're glad you're listening to the show. And we've got it packed in for you. So much to talk about. We are going back to last week's guest, Lowell Ponte. He's going to be back on this show. We're going to finish up the interview of him. You don't want to miss it. We also got this week's Tombstone of the Week Award is dear to my heart. How dear to Doc Holliday's heart? Well, it's about Tombstone, Arizona, and what the administration is doing there. You won't believe it. You're going to have to hear it. So stay tuned to this week's Tombstone of the Week Award and the rock-splitting Obama fact. I've got to tell you about the rock-splitting Obama fact at the end of the show. It's something that you're hearing the president talk about the auto bailouts and all the millions of jobs he saved. Okay, we got the truth on that. The rock-splitting Obama fact. You've got to hear it. So stay tuned for the end. And in between, we got to get started here because I'm going to talk to you about some of the news items. So much to talk about. You need to hear things. And what we are telling you here at Doc Holliday's Rock-Splitting Politics that will prepare you to be a part of the American movement to get this country turned back around and headed in the right direction. And of course, one of those things is Get Obama Out Now, and you can go there, .com. Okay, I got that plug in because I want to tell you about next week's show. We're going to get somebody on site there in Wisconsin as they're talking about what is going on in the recall election of Scott Walker. For those who haven't been keeping up, you remember last year, there was Scott Walker, Governor Walker, was elected to go in and clean up the government and the waste and get the financial order back in the state of Wisconsin. And he did it by taking on the public unions and public employee unions. And all kind of heck broke down and all kind of damage done to the state capitol. You know, when you have tea parties, you clean up after yourself. When you get the far left, I think they caused like $7 million worth of damage, you know, camping out there at the state capitol. Unbelievable. But you see the difference between what the Tea Party groups do and what the conservatives do compared to what the far left does. But saying that, we're going to get next week's show is going to be talking with some folks right on the ground in Ground Zero, Wisconsin, as the recall election for the governor, forced by the unions and the Democratic Party. They'll be up for a vote in the first week of June. And it's getting down to the nitty-gritty there. We're going to see if the American people can stand up for freedom in the state of Wisconsin. All our Wisconsin listeners, thank you for standing up. This is the time to be counted. And we're going to be there with you, talking to some folks right on the ground in Wisconsin next week. Saying that, what can I say about this show? Other than that, there's so much to talk about. I think one of the most important things as we name this show, perhaps it is the end of the beginning. What do I mean by that? I mean this. When you heard Winston Churchill talk about it, when he made that famous speech, he was talking about after the Battle of El Alamein there in Egypt, the port, they threw back the German Panzer Division, the Desert Fox, Rommel, General Rommel, for the Germans. They got defeated right there in El Alamein. And I'm telling you, when Winston Churchill said, it's not the end. It's not even the beginning of the end, but it is perhaps the end of the beginning. That's where I think we are in this election, to get Barack Obama out of office. We've got a long way to go. But last week's show, and if you didn't listen to it, go back and listen to last week's show. I really believe our president is cracking up. You know, when he came out for gay marriage, that was a fundamental change. It's a big flip-flop, okay? And the press says he's evolved. That's what we call flip-flop. Flip-flop. That's what it is. Tell the mainstream media their president flip-flopped. A big-time flip-flop. And it has a lot of folks upset. A lot of you don't understand in the African-American faith community. This is something that they feel the president has not just flip-flopped, but he has really stabbed them in the back. And there was an African-American pastor who had a huge press conference last week. He's been on this show before, and he's keeping us posted on what's going on, but he had a long lineup of African-American pastors, clergymen, who were standing up, men and women, saying this is wrong, the president coming out for gay marriage, and they've asked the president to reverse his stand on marriage. You think he will? Well, they're asking him to. They're going to it not with politics, but on moral issues, saying the civil rights movement that they worked for, these African-American pastors, and they had this press conference in Memphis, Tennessee, and they're saying that if the gay rights community is going to climb on and try to piggyback off the civil rights that they worked for, then they're saying they won't have nothing to do with the gay marriage crowd, and they want the president to reverse his decision. I'm telling you, folks, you're hearing it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. This is not going to just blow over. The mainstream media is acting like, oh, big brave Obama. I'm telling you, let me tell you a little story. Those of you who remember going to Sunday school, some of you went to Sunday school, some of you training in religious different places, maybe in the synagogue, but let me tell you what in the early part of the Bible, when it talks about the sons of Isaac. You remember the sons of Isaac? Esau and Jacob. Jacob was the trickster. Well, what happened? Esau was firstborn. Supposed to get the birthright from the father to the firstborn. But what happened? Jacob tricked him out of it because Esau was so hungry one time, came in from hunting, and he wanted Jacob to make him food, and his physical needs, where he was so desperate that he gave away his birthright, his father's birthright, the firstborn, gave away his birthright. Now, what does that story have to do with the election of 2012? It's this. Just a couple weeks ago, when President Obama flip-flopped big time, he threw the African-American faith community, the clergymen who had helped get him elected, the most loyal people who got him elected, he threw them under the bus. He threw them under the bus. Why? Because he knew if he came out for gay marriage, he would get millions of dollars. He didn't need the thousands that the clergy could raise in the African-American churches. He didn't need that little money. He needed the one percenters. He needed the big-time million-dollar donations from the gay marriage lobby. He sold his birthright. That's exactly what Obama did, folks. He sold his birthright to re-election. I'm telling you, I'm making the claim right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Listen to the rock cracking. Some of you just don't understand how big this is in the African-American community. And I'm telling you, follow this. We will look back. Did you notice last week the CBS New York Times poll showed Romney in front of President Obama? Do you know it's sending jitters down? The, you know, knees are knocking in the Democratic Party. They know the president is weaker than anybody ever thought on his re-election chances. And he sold away his birthright to re-election, as far as I'm concerned. Watch what happens. Watch. One day, we'll come back, And people will say in history, I believe this is going to happen. You, Doc Holliday's saying it right now here in May, last week of May. I'm telling you that when Winston Churchill said, perhaps it's the end of the beginning as far as getting President Obama out of the White House. I'm telling you, that's how I see it. Now, we got to get on to this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. And this is something that you just have to, I can't believe it, but I can because I know who's the President of the United States and what his administration's doing. But let me get it set up for you. Let's just set that up for you. Hang on just a second. We're going to set this up for you.
Tombstone as a legend.
Who is it?
That's Wider. Made a name for himself as a peace officer.
I heard of you. I retired.
You must be Doc Holliday. You retired too?
Not me. I'm in my prime.
You tell them I'm coming! And hell's coming with me!
Justice is coming to Tombstone.
And just why is justice coming to Tombstone? Well, Doc Holliday is here to tell you the reason justice is coming to Tombstone is because of this administration. Now, let me tell you what happened. As you know, it's no surprise that water can be hard to come by in Arizona. But the government, the federal government, is trying to cut off the water supply to the famous old west town of Tombstone. Why? Well, let me tell you, nearly a year ago, and this is from an article by Katie Pavlich, great conservative author, and has great articles, but she was talking about nearly a year ago, Tombstone's water supply lines were heavily damaged in a flood after a heavy rain. And there's a massive wildfire leaving some loose soil in the area. And then since the damage, Tombstone residents have been fighting to repair the water lines. But because they run through a wilderness area, the water lines going to Tombstone run through a wilderness area. So the feds are saying the only option they have is to literally dig up miles and miles of water lines by hand. Why? Because machine use in wilderness areas is prohibited by federal law. Wow. And over 9 months ago, the historic town's 130-year-old water system was destroyed by massive flooding. And now the federal government will not let them get their water supply. And get this. This is what one thing, there's a federal judge was talking about. They can't do that. And he's talking about the Goldwater Institute has already filed an emergency appeal of the decision. It says requiring Tombstone to seek federal permits to repair its municipal water supply is like demanding a federal permit before the city can make repairs to a fire truck. It's gobbledygook, gobbly junk, just red tape. And the thing is, the Goldwater Institute says under the 10th Amendment, the federal government has no power during a state of emergency to stop a local government from repairing its own municipal property, which is essential to providing safe drinking water and adequate fire protection. Unbelievable, this government. And the thing is, until last year, the U.S. Forest Service recognized and respected the rights of the city of Tombstone. And they have property rights to 25 mountain spring heads and all the water rising and flowing in two canyons. And now it's always been respected until last year. Who's in charge of the federal government now, this administration? Until last year, the U.S. Forest Service recognized and respected those rights, which date back to the days of Wide Earp and Doc Holliday. Okay. Today, the federal government denies they exist and refuses to allow Tombstone to restore more than three of its spring water attachments. Now, this week's Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award goes to the federal government, the U.S. Forest Service that denies the city of Tombstone to have water They deny them to get water. Unbelievable. This administration. Why would anybody in the state of Arizona vote to put this administration back in office? Okay. That's this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. We got to get to our guest, and that's Lowell Ponte coming up. We're going to just pick up where we left off last week with his talk about our economy. And I got to tell you, before we get on Lowell, I just want to remind you, we got a great sponsor, the folks at the official American Standard Playing Cards. They believe the foundation of this nation is strong. Their mission is for America to have her own playing cards while sowing seeds of liberty. You can get yours today. To learn more, go to my homepage and look into my Doc Recommend section, or just click on their ad right there on my homepage. You'll be glad you did. I'm glad I did. I've already gone there. I've clicked on the ad. I've ordered me some cards. I ordered a few decks because I want my friends to know I play with the official American Standard Playing Cards. Anybody that has any cards in your home, you should have these cards. So go there and just click on the ad and visit, see it. You don't have to even order today, but I would advise you to, because if you don't, you're not going to be helping out the freedom movement in this country. So go there. And saying all that, I've got to remind everybody that you are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. And I do want to remind you that Doc Holliday has his own book, and it's called Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. If you've not heard about it, go to the website, getobamaoutnow.com. You can order your copy. I do talk about how this election parallels to the Battle of Gettysburg, among many other things. And it's very important. Get your copy of the book. We still got it running a special on it, and we won't be doing that much longer. So go get your copy right now. Go to my website, and you can pick it up. Now, let's get right here to continue our conversation with Lowell Ponte, among many things, of being a reporter. He was the editor at Reader's Digest for many years, when it was the best reading material you could find. Now, he has done many things, but right now he is helping us discover the ways this administration is manipulating the figures of this economy during this election year. So let's go right in here with Lowell Ponte.
We've created a society where our money is losing value so fast it literally is evaporating in your hands as you hold it. Inflation right now is running at 7.2% a year.
But that's not what the government tells me, Lowell.
No, I know. That's what's so perverse about this.
So how do you get your figure, and the government tells me inflation's what, like 2.2%, and you're telling
me... Now,
that
is from the American Institute for Economic Research. They have what they call an everyday inflation index, which means what you're paying at the supermarket, what you're paying at the gas pump. Their estimate is 7.2% as of 2011. They don't have it yet currently for this year. But the point is, we now claim that we have economic growth at 2.2%. That was the last government number.
Right.
2.2% means we do not have liftoff speed. We're flying at stall speed. That means the plane is going to crash. That is not enough economic growth to sustain the economy, especially given the way government is spending and printing money. But because we have 7.2% inflation, you have to subtract that from the economic growth. So our economy is actually growing at minus 5% a year.
You say minus 5%
a year. Well, yeah, you
take
the inflation away from the growth, because the inflation is eating up the growth, and it's eating up more than the growth. It's eating up more than the seed corn.
Well, tell me this, Lowell, what you say, if we're shrinking 5% a year, why has the stock market over the past year done so well as far as regaining all its value lost in 2008? And since Obama's come into office, the stock market has really rebounded when you look at it year to year. So if the stock market's supposed to take a look 6 months to a year out in the future of the economy, which experts say it does, why has the stock market gone up when you say we're actually shrinking?
Actually, the stock market has days when it drops 100 to 200 points. The stock market is very thin right now. It has low purchasing. I mean, the buying is being done by the big international institutions. It's not being done by ordinary buyers. Ordinary buyers have largely fled from the stock market. So these increases are going on what's called thin volume. They're not really being... And the problem is these international institutions are basically their own kind of welfare recipients.
Now,
they sit around...
Explain that to me.
No, but I mean, they are relying on the Federal Reserve doing a new quantitative easing. When they see a socialist elected in France, when they see Europe on the brink of economic collapse, to them that's good news.
Well,
and the reason it's good news
is
it's going to force the government to print more money.
Okay.
And they sit there and they're waiting to grab onto the new money that the government dumps into the system. Remember, our government has just dumped in the last 3.5 years, about $7.7 trillion. Most of it printed out of thin air.
Now, where'd you get those numbers? I mean, that's...
You can find that on the Internet. You can Google that and find it. Obama himself is responsible for $5.5 trillion of that. Bush did some before that.
Right.
But no, the government has been frantically spending trying to pump the economy up because they believe in a dead British economist named John Maynard Keynes.
Mm-hmm.
Keynes said when the economy's bad, you stimulate it with government spending. Okay, they have done more government spending than anyone ever dreamed of doing.
Right.
They have done, we should all be walking around with $100,000 bills in our hands. I mean, they have put so much stimulus into the economy that we should have prosperity coming out our ears. And yet we don't. And yet we have companies and banks here holding on to trillions of dollars. Ayn Rand once wrote a novel called Atlas Shrugged.
Right.
The theme of which was, what would happen if the productive people, the people who actually pull the wagon that all these millions of people want to ride in for free, if they just went on strike, if they said, to hell with it, we're tired of being taxed so heavily and regulated so heavily. By the way, speaking of which, we just passed Tax Freedom Day not long ago, around April 15th, but we are a long way away from Cost of Government Day. This is a number compiled by Americans for Tax Reform. It will not be until at least August 12th that you and I have paid the cost of taxes plus government regulation and what all the government mandates dump on us as expenses.
So when
you're paying that much more than half of everything you earn every year, are we really free? Or as you said earlier, are we really a slave society?
Well, it's getting more and more like the slave society. And you know, you're pointing out these things. Let's get to the election this year, Lowell, and how do you see this administration's manipulating numbers? We talked about some on the economy. How about unemployment numbers? They keep saying it's coming down. We're down to, 8.1% unemployment, and it looks like, hey, things are getting better and better.
Yeah, and you know how they got that number, Doc? They got that number by taking 364,000 people off the unemployment rolls. How did they do it? Just by saying, you haven't looked for a job in the last 4 weeks. We therefore don't even figure you as a job. Since President Obama took office, we now have today about 5 million fewer jobs in the economy as a whole that are being counted as potential jobs. And so, of course, even though we've lost millions of jobs, when you count there being even fewer jobs to fill, then you say, unemployment's improved. Well, here's the reality. We in the United States have, among men aged 25 to 54, 1 out of 5 men doesn't have a job to go to.
Mm.
1 out of 5. That's 20% of male. I mean, they talk about how women get less pay than men, which may be true for various reasons. But women are more employed than men. Women actually have a higher employment rate than males do in the society today. Among young people who just graduated from college, 53% of them can't find jobs at their level of education.
So do you think these 53% will be voting for Barack Obama in the fall?
I think they may be a bit disillusioned. By the way, we have something we haven't seen since just after World War II, and that is about 1 in 3 people... between age 25 and 34 now live at home with mom and dad.
Yeah.
I mean, we are gradually infantilizing the whole society, turning supposed adults back into children. So we have a third of the young population who still live with mom and dad up to age 34. We have all kinds of odd things like that going on in the economy.
You talk about that. Let me. I don't know if you were aware. I saw last week an article about Charles Payne, I believe, but he's talking about crazy money where people run out of unemployment, so all of a sudden they apply for disability, and he said there's actually 2.2 million people since Obama became president who have gotten disability coverage, and that's 2.2 million people off the unemployment roll. So there's another.
Yeah, and so people appreciate what you're saying. By the way, I appear on Charles' show from time to time. He is a great guy. We're seeing unemployment dragging the society down because we not only have unemployment, you see, we have underemployment.
Mm-hmm.
We just talked about 115,000 jobs being created. But when you look at where those jobs were created, they were created in restaurants, meaning hamburger flipper jobs. They were created in retail, meaning people standing at counters selling perfume or whatever. And they were at bars. I figure this is because President Obama's policies are so bad they have now driven more Americans to drink.
To go drink, okay.
Yeah, so we have the kind of jobs being created that are certainly honest, honorable work, but they're not the kind of jobs that are going to lift the economy out of its present problems. We need manufacturing jobs. We need jobs actually making things. And yet today, we live in a world where there are twice as many Americans employed by government at some level as are employed in all of manufacturing combined. We've become what Wall Street Journal's Stephen Moore has called a nation of takers, not makers. And ultimately, at the end of the day, if the government is going to be redistributing goodies to people, somebody has to make the goodies.
And
yet we're
doing
everything we can to discourage people from actually being productive.
Right, and it's hard to manufacture things here because of the mandates and the regulations that are so onerous, people rather go to another country to make a lot of products.
Well, not even a lot of profit. I mean, when you have a president who complains about the price of gasoline, but at the same time is blocking every attempt to generate alternative fuel or to buy fuel from Canada as opposed to making us dependent on oil sheiks in the Middle East.
Yeah, the Keystone Pipeline.
I mean,
why didn't he approve that? That seems like a no-brainer.
It does, doesn't it? And yet, this is where my co-author Craig Smith and I differ. Craig is a very loving, forgiving person who says the president is doing his best. I, having been a reporter in Washington, D.C., and working in the California legislature and being around politics point blank, I look at this and say, you know, if somebody flips a coin and every time he flips it, it comes up tails. After about 50 flips, I'm going to say, this isn't real. You know, this is deliberate. Something is being rigged here. President Obama, essentially every decision he's made has damaged the country's economy in some way.
Can you name about three of them right off the top?
Well, sure, he's raising taxes. By the way, Obama's advisors call themselves Keynesians.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, John Maynard Keynes, with all of his oddities, he would have said, you never raise taxes when the economy is bad. That will only make things worse. President Obama is obsessed with raising taxes on everybody. Well, you don't do that in a down economy. That's just nuts. And yet, that's exactly what, if you're Keynesians, and yet they claim to be Keynesians and all they want to do is raise taxes. They passed Obamacare that will put crushing tax burdens on small business, that will devastate your ability to have your own doctor or insurance company as you used to. Remember, they first pass Obamacare, and then they begin telling the insurance companies, oh, but you have to pay for sex change operations. You have to pay for contraception. You have to pay for this. In other words, they say, you have to insure everyone. You're not supposed to raise your rates on them, but we, the government, are now mandating that you take on all kinds of additional costs under that insurance.
and the whole thing will collapse.
Well, you do that for a while, and you simply break the bank of all the private insurance companies. So they can't stay in business, and when they drop out of business, what's left? Government.
Right.
As the big insurer, which is what Obama said he wanted in the first place. Yeah. And he's doing this across the board with the economy. He's doing this in energy. He's literally just taking over one economic sector after another. He's taken over health care. He's taking over energy. And he's shattered housing. We know what happened to housing, of course. By the way, there's never been an economic recovery in American history that didn't include a recovery in housing.
Lowell, let's give our listeners, last week you said they could get a free book. Won't you give them that 1-800 number to get your free book again?
Yeah, the toll-free number to get your own copy of The Inflation Deception is 800-630-1494. That's 800-630-1494. It's not quite Columbus. It's not 1492, but it's close. 800-630-1494. God bless you for being a man of courage who stands up and helps people get real information to protect themselves and their families and bring America back to the biblical values of our founders.
And folks, that was Lowell Ponte, and we're glad he was with us here on Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics. Hope you order your book. He gave you that 1-800 number. Order the book and find out how to protect yourself as this whole economy crashes. Now, we have got to get on to this week's Rock Split in Politics. Without any ado, let's go right in. I told you, we're going to talk about something that President Obama is out on the campaign trail talking about. And what is that? He's talking about how he saved the auto industry. Well, let me just tell you some information about that you may not have heard of. Again, this is an article that came out from John Lott, contributes to Fox News, but he was saying, he started out, would you hire President Obama as your financial advisor? Would you? Well, this is what he went on to say. 3 years ago, his administration invested more than $100 billion in taxpayer money just to bail out General Motors. And just last week, his entire company, not what the government owns, not just what the government owns, but the whole company was worth less than $34 billion. We gave him $100 billion to bail him out, and now today the company is worth less than $34 billion. And by anyone's definition, John Lott said that investment is a glaring failure. And yet, you know, on the campaign trail, I've heard President Obama, you've heard him, listen to any of his campaign speeches, and they're making an ad talking about the battleground states that are claiming the bailout is a rousing success. But they're not including all the numbers. They say all loans have been repaid to the federal government and that the bailout saved more than 1 million American jobs. And the U.S. automakers are hiring hundreds of thousands of new workers. And it says that GM, again, is the number one automaker. Let's take those. Let's see what John Lott says. He said, number one, the money the government spent adds up quickly. $50 billion in the TARP bailout funds with a special exemption waiving payment of $45.4 billion in taxes on future profits. Did you get that? Not only the $50 billion in TARP bailout funds, but there's an exemption waiving $45.4 billion in taxes on future profits, an exemption for all product liability on cars sold before the bailout. You know, no product liability on cars before the bailout? Uh-huh. Well, I see that I can make some money for a company. $360 million in stimulus funds. And then the $7,500 tax credit for all those who buy the Chevy Volt. $7,500 tax credit per car on the Chevy Volt. And GM's share of other programs, you know, is harder to quantify, but they say includes, for example, some of the $15.2 billion that went to cash for clunkers. Again, that was money that, where did it go? Those costs are in addition to the billions taken from GM's bondholders by the Obama administration. Remember, the bondholders got ripped off. They got stripped. The law did not protect them. But you look at all this accounting, and with all the contentions about everybody talking about the TARP money getting paid back, the Obama administration compares the $50 billion in direct bailout funds with the price it will eventually be able to get for selling the GM stock it owns. But that assumes the stock price won't reflect government subsidies, including GM's exemption from paying $45 billion in taxes. By the Obama administration's logic, if the stimulus grants to TARP recipients were simply large enough, all the TARP money could be paid. Oh, and it talks about, John Lott says, claims that GM paid back its TARP loan are true but misleading. President Obama clearly wants to create the impression that all the money given to the auto companies has been paid back. But the $6.7 billion loan to GM was just a tiny fraction of the money given to it. As TARP Special Inspector General Neil Barofsky explained, GM used other TARP money to pay off the loan. So what about President Obama's boast in the White House speech that the bailout saved probably a million jobs and GM is now the number one automaker again in the world? Well, the million jobs contention is quite a stretch. Said before filing for bankruptcy in July 2009, GM had 91,000 employees in the United States. You can reach maybe 400,000 total by assuming that all of GM's jobs, as well as all the jobs of its parts suppliers and car dealers, would have been lost. But last year, employment in the entire automotive industry in the United States, that's counting Ford, Toyota, and other companies and their suppliers, in addition to GM and Chrysler, was only 717,000 jobs. So somebody is blowing numbers and lies, and they're coming out in ads, and somebody needs to catch the president on it. Where is the press? Where is the mainstream media? And John Lott went on to say, saving 20% of 400,000 comes at quite a cost, at least $780,000 per job. Wow. And it's, as far as the number one automaker, it's really not accurate. He says Obama's sales totals include 1.2 million mostly cheap commercial vehicles built by China's Wuling, a company in which GM owns a small stake. They include the Chinese cars for China to say GM's number one again. And it excludes sales by vehicles makers like Volkswagen that owns a majority share. Fortune magazine lists GM's revenue as smaller than Toyota's and Volkswagen's. So the real winners from the GM bailout were the unions. The unions got so much money. Billions of dollars, and basically having just $34 billion to show after a $100 billion plus investment would get a chief executive of any private company fired. It's time to fire the president of the United States. Do you agree? Well, that's this week's Rock Splitting Politics. Next week, we're going to go to some folks on the ground in Wisconsin, talk about the recall election for the Governor Walker in the state of Wisconsin. We're going to be talking about that. And ending up the show, perhaps it is the end of the beginning of making sure we get ObamaOutNow.com. All right? Let's listen to Winston one more time.
This is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end. But it is perhaps the end of the beginning.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.